Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Once the latest technology, email is going the way of the dinosaur. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Naomi, and I'm back in the studio today with Bill and Joanna. We're excited to be talking about the second day of the end of email. Today is January 10th, and yesterday we began by talking about email, something that's quite familiar to all of us, I think. What did we learn about yesterday, Bill?
Well, this is a great topic, and we learned about how email, you know, it started out as a great idea. We thought it was even cute back in the late 1990s and during the 2000, 2005 time period, but it stopped being charming, and it's actually become something that is not really efficient anymore.
Okay. We talk sometimes about something having a kind of novelty to it. Mm-hmm. When something is brand new, it's very fun and exciting. And so that's true with email. At the beginning, it was this wonderful new way to communicate. But a lot of things have kind of gotten in the way of email and its efficiency, right, Joanna?
Yes. Along with emails that are actually important, there are lots of unimportant things like spam, malicious code, you know, phishing scams, those kinds of things that we need to work hard to avoid. And, of course, the more effort we put into filtering through those things, the less we're getting done.
Right. So just handling this huge bulk of emails that are sort of coming in and out, that's a job in and of itself, isn't it?
It sure is. I think we've all been there. We come into the office, and first thing in the morning, we turn on our computer, and we open up our email box, and there's you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 emails. It depends how high you are in the pecking order, how many emails are in your box. Just going through those emails consumes so much time. You're reading it. You have to figure out what's important, what to get rid of, typing a reply to some of these emails. That can consume an hour, 2 hours, just dealing with this.
Mm, yeah, definitely. Joanna, do you enjoy using email?
Enjoy isn't the right word. I don't hate it.
Sure.
There's definitely use for email still, at least in my work and personal time. I use it. I like it better than phone calls in some ways. So,
okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so there are still definitely some uses for email. In fact, we might not be totally convinced that it really is the end of email yet. Do you have any frustrations with email?
Well, I do have a frustration as far as, there's certain good techniques with email, and it takes a while to learn good email techniques. And one thing that I have frustration with is when people write too much, and it just goes on. And we finished yesterday talking about this one exchange that went on for 2 days, and email. Also, the other thing is it's linear in that it's a one-way communication.
Right.
And the gentleman yesterday said that he was able to finish a conversation finish this email thing with a 2-minute phone conversation.
Right.
Whereas email was really inefficient because it was one-way communication.
It is, and it can get very bulky and kind of frustrating. I know sometimes when I respond to and fro over one email subject, my inbox, it slowly begins to kind of fill up, you know, with these emails. And I think, oh, okay, delete them all. Let's clean it up. It just seems a bit messy to me sometimes. And some of the newer forms of communication are a little bit less so. Sometimes, you know, using some social media and just some different platforms like we talked about yesterday, I think can be a little more efficient. Let's find out more about what the experts have to say about this in our first reading on page 21.
How email affects workers. My friend Mark Saylor, president of a beverage company, notices that emails take on lives of their own inside larger companies. Vast numbers of executives and assistants are weighing in, positioning an issue in a certain light for advancement or credit. What could be settled in a 10-minute phone call or a 20-minute face-to-face meeting stretches out over days, and then weeks, and then months. It turns out that workers spend 41% of their time going through business email, according to a paper by MessageMind. In Great Britain, not only did 1 in 5 workers say they spent that much time on email, according to an IBM study, but 20% of the time, the email was just useless, pointless, or sent to the wrong person. Volkswagen has reportedly banned corporate email to workers with BlackBerry devices during non-working hours. Atos, a global information technology company, has purportedly vowed to stop using email by 2014.
Okay, so how does email affect workers? We begin with our author discussing a friend of his.
Yeah, he's talking about his friend Mark Saylor, a president of a beverage company. And I think we've all seen this in our workplace. And Mark notices that emails take on lives of their own inside larger companies.
So if something takes on a life of its own, it's sort of like it becomes something separate from what it began as.
Yeah, it just then, you know, it's starting out as this small thing on the side, and then it grows into like this huge project almost. And that's what an email can do, because what happens, for instance, I think we've all seen this, we might send an email out to one or two people, then we CC in four or five other people. And so then we end up with vast numbers of executives and assistants now giving their opinion or their thoughts on this thing.
Right. So it becomes sort of uncontrollable. It's almost like this little email becomes this monster that just everyone is giving an opinion about.
That's, I don't know if you've ever had one, as we were talking about in the break, an email that gets bounced back and forth in between people over and over, maybe several times in 10 minutes, even if everyone's at their computer emailing. And, you know, you CC everybody and suddenly you have 20 emails with the same subject line. Everyone's trying to give their opinion. Everyone's trying to talk. And that's kind of difficult via email. It's not the same as sitting around in person or getting on a phone.
I agree. And for instance, you know, someone could say, well, I'll start working on that. And at the same time, someone else is replying the same thing. And then the same job gets done twice because two people offered to do it. And then someone says, oh, never mind. I didn't realize you were going to do this. And it's all just really confusing. But there's other issues as well. So for one thing, it's just too many people. But the second thing is that idea of positioning an issue in a certain light.
Well, this is dealing with corporate politics, Naomi, and this is when, and I've seen it where in big corporations I worked before in sales and marketing, that people feel like they have to contribute. They have to put their name on something and maybe make a statement about it to show that, hey, I'm part of the program. I'm in on this. I'm part of the decision-making team. And also, maybe I had something to do with this thing that is going to be accomplished. So I want to get some credit on this. I might help advance my purpose here, my cause.
Right. And in the same way, people might do the opposite as well. If there's a problem, they might sort of try to push the blame onto somebody else and say, well, wasn't that this other department's responsibility? It wasn't my fault, you know, and try to defend themselves through this kind of email conversation as well, which I think is also pretty dangerous, and it makes things a lot more complicated than they have to be. And so once again, we see in that next sentence, it's a similar situation to what we talked about yesterday, just time-wise, right?
Yes, what could be settled in a 10-minute phone call or 20-minute face-to-face conversation stretches out over days and weeks and months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for me this is why often I would much rather just get up from my desk and go and visit a coworker to discuss something quickly rather than email back and forth and back and forth. I mean, when possible, for example, you and I, Bill, I would much rather run up and say, hey, Bill, I noticed this, and talk it out a minute.
Yeah, we can get it resolved much quicker a lot of times in a conversation. We call this thing, what we're talking about in this paragraph, an email chain.
Mm.
And that's where you might see 10 or 20 different replies from different people, an email chain. One thing I want to mention that's kind of ironic in this is that I said CC. We CC people in. The irony of that is CC comes from carbon copy. I'm going to carbon copy people in on this mail. That goes all the way the back to 50, 60 years ago. We used to use a typewriter, put a piece of carbon behind it and another piece of paper so that when we typed it up, we could actually send a hard copy to a second person. So I might send you the typed letter and I would send Joanna the carbon copy. It's ridiculous. We use CC in email.
Right.
Carbon copy someone.
Yes, I remember carbon copies, actually. All right, let's go on to the next paragraph. So this whole business email thing, is it really so inefficient? What do you think?
Well, the next paragraph, we see that it turns out workers spend 41% of their time going through business email, according to a paper by MessageMind. That's almost half their time going through business email. That sounds fairly inefficient unless your job is specifically to be on email.
Right. If you're an administrative assistant, maybe this makes sense. But for most of us, 41% seems like a lot.
It seems like a lot, but I bet you if we actually sat down and analyzed what we did in a day, we wouldn't be far off for most of us people working in an office. We probably would be at least at the 30% mark or maybe more.
Sure.
So MessageMind was that New York email software company we learned about yesterday.
Okay. And then it goes on to list another statistic, specifically in Great Britain. There's even more to be learned here about our work habits.
Well, 1 in 5 workers said that they spent that much time on email, and another 20% of the time they use or the email is just useless. It's not even work email. It's probably junk mail.
So not only are they already spending all this time on email, but 20% of that time this email is useless, pointless, or sent to the wrong person. So does that mean that people are just being really lazy at work, do you think?
I don't think so. I think, again, this goes back to that sorting out, the sifting through of email. We get all those emails, and we got to go through because we don't know which ones are important, which ones are not. And then as we do this, we find out that 20% of them and 20% of the time is useless then. But we only discover that after we do the work. And
right.
I find that too.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the first thing I do in the morning usually is check for new email and delete half of them, you know, because either there's something that, I mean, only took 10 seconds to deal with, or, you know, it's just not worth my time in the first place. Now, what are companies doing about this? Well, we see one example here.
Well, Volkswagen has reportedly banned corporate email to workers with BlackBerry devices during non-working hours. What that means is if you've got a BlackBerry or maybe another smartphone with your work email connected to it, people from work can't email you after work hours. So people can't bother you on your phone at 10 o'clock at night saying, hey, and as someone with a smartphone with a connection to work email, sometimes I get emails that late at night.
Yeah. I purposely don't connect my work email to my phone for that reason. I don't want to deal with it once I've left the office. I think, you know, I try to focus hard while I'm at work and then I want to be done. I want to focus on other things. But that's not easy when you know you have coworkers or maybe even managers or supervisors who are emailing you. So this idea of banning those emails, of making a rule against them, I think is a very interesting idea.
It really is. And because you've got several different cultures within a workplace, you've got some people that think, oh, you should be available 24/7. You've got other people that feel, no, I've got set hours. And there actually can be a clash of cultures, work cultures within a corporate workplace, which can cause problems.
Sure. Yeah. But even if people are doing work outside of working hours, that extra email could be more disruptive than helpful. Right. So even if they are bringing work home or staying late, then extra email is still not going to help them get that done. It's just going to distract them from focusing. Right.
And I find in most cases, Naomi, that if you even waited until the next day, everybody would have survived.
Right,
We'd all survive until the next day.
I would say 99% of cases that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's one way to deal with it. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's sort of a nice compromise. You know, we're not giving up email, but we will try to eliminate some of it or at least time it better. But there's another company mentioned here that does things a bit differently.
Yes, we hear about Atos, a global information technology company, and they have purportedly vowed to stop using email by 2014. Purportedly meaning apparently believed or suspected to be true. I think you can use purportedly and reportedly almost interchangeably. They mean the same thing. But they're giving up email altogether in a couple of years.
Wow, that's a big promise to make.
Well, it is a big promise. But, you know, I kind of like this. They're actually, I'm going to assume they mean January 1, 2014. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. But say they mean that. That means, okay, all of our employees, you've got this year, 2013, to use email, but we're going to prep you mentally and emotionally for life after email.
Mm.
There will be other alternatives.
Okay. So, yeah, interesting. And what are those other alternatives? Well, we'll find out a little bit about that in a moment. But before we do our final reading for today, let's go to our feature.
Ugh, Joe, I am so tired of all the spam and phishing I get in my email inbox.
Tell me about it. I feel like my email account has taken on a life of its own. I hate even going into it, especially getting those emails trying to scam money out of me from some fake long-lost relative.
The only reason I use email is because my parents still use it to contact me.
Well, here's an interesting tidbit for you. I heard our office is purportedly ditching email by the end of 2013.
No way! Really? What are they going to use instead?
Well, word on the street is, email will be replaced by enterprise social networking.
What? Like Facebook?
Yes, or something similar to it.
There are a lot of options out there nowadays.
I'm glad a change is coming. I'm tired of people telling me they have thousands of emails in their inbox like it's some competition to see who has the most.
Yeah. It'd be great to get rid of that false measurement of a pecking order.
Not to mention the fact that it didn't help get things done efficiently. People would just argue back and forth about whose responsibility a task wasn't.
Isn't this whole subject what you're researching for your Leaders for Global Operations graduate program with MIT? And don't they contact you by email?
That's the irony, really. Although recently they've been using social networking to teach classes, give out homework, and assess our assignments. Doesn't your mom use social networking for her business ventures?
Yes, actually. She's found it really helpful in getting to know all the small business owners who are part of the local cottage industry.
Well, as one old saw says, it's always good to be ahead of the game.
I would agree with that one. It is good to be ahead of the game. So how can we get ahead of the email game? Let's find out in our final reading.
How to handle it. These last two tidbits come from Ideaplane, a London company that is part of a cottage industry trying to divert the torrent of email into more efficient channels of communication. Email efficiency expert Marcia Egan estimates that workers lose at least an hour a day to, on average, 15 email interruptions. The research firm Basix estimates that interruptions total $650 billion in annual losses. So, people like Egan offer coaching and even provide posters. But the best idea may come from the London company, which advocates that companies ditch email. But in favor of what, exactly? A phone call? A meeting? No. It turns out that enterprise social networking will replace email. Gartner, the IT research firm, predicts that in 2014, companies will substitute enterprise social networking for email in 20% of their communications. In other words, Facebook for business.
So those last two little facts about Volkswagen and Atos, those two tidbits, those little bits of interesting information, came from IdeaPlane. Now, why are we mentioning this London company in the first place, Joanna?
Well, they're part of a cottage industry trying to divert the torrent of email into more efficient channels of communication. And a cottage industry is a business activity where there's a lot of individuals or smaller companies working together in ways that aren't really usual for a larger corporation. So they're all working, they're part of an industry working together to try to divert this huge amount of email into more efficient channels.
Right. They're almost like sort of a new speciality in the business world of like, how do we make email more useful? How do we communicate in a way that will really work? Interesting that they say they're trying to divert the torrent of email.
Yeah. First off, we want to redirect something when we divert it. But also then we see torrent. Torrent would be considered like a wave, you know, a wave of water. This is a wave of information coming our way. Mm-hmm. So they want to push this wave of information into the proper direction.
Right. Sometimes if there's a thunderstorm, we'll talk about torrents of rain mm-hmm. coming down. Here, that torrent of email, like we said, there are a lot of emails coming in and out of inboxes. And so, of course, we do want to direct that email into more efficient channels. We want to deal with it in a way that actually makes sense for us, a way that's useful for us. And there are some experts in this field now.
Well, we hear from one expert, Marcia Egan, who estimates that workers lose at least an hour a day on average to 15 email interruptions. I guess that's when you just stop your work because you need to address new emails that have come in, sort through random things, just as what we've been talking about this whole time, just filtering.
Right. Most computers have a little email alert noise, right, that goes off. You get a new message and it goes ding. And you think, oh, got to check it right away. Do you do that, Bill?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I do. And sometimes I'm anticipating responses to things, mm-hmm. and I need replies back from people. And so I will check my email maybe more than I need to. So,
yeah.
And then I get distracted because maybe I don't get the email from you that I'm looking for on a certain article, but I get something from Joanna, and it's not even something I was thinking about. But
right.
Then I open it up, and then I'm steered in a whole different direction. And the next thing I know, 3 minutes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in our system here, we have a little icon that pops up at the bottom of the screen. And if I see that, it's almost impossible for me not to check. I'm so curious always. If I know there's a new message, then I want to find out what it is. And it's very hard for me to just let it sit there. And so for me, I have to be quite disciplined. And sometimes I'll even just turn off my email for a couple of hours so that I can focus better on other tasks.
I'm the same way. I would say these email interruptions are almost as dangerous as maybe taking too many Facebook breaks or having your instant messenger up talking to friends. If I need to focus on doing something and it really needs to get done and I'm stopping it every 15, 20 minutes to check, even just a minute to check my inbox and see what's that email, it's just like, you know, getting off track. I have to get back on track again.
Yeah, it derails you. It stops you from going in the direction that you were supposed to be going in. And so it is a big problem. And in fact, there's a research firm that put a number on this problem.
Yeah, there's a reason this is a problem. The research firm Basics estimates that interruptions total $650 billion in annual losses.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, what do they mean by this? All right. I just told you I'm diverted on this one email from Joanna. It takes me 3 minutes. And then throughout the day, I spend an hour on my interruptions. What's my hourly rate of pay? And then they can take all the employees in America or the world. And there's a mathematical formula where you can actually look at this and say, this is what the cost is. This is what we're losing in salary, lost productivity.
Right. So because of that, people like Marcia Egan, who we just heard from, offer coaching, provide motivational posters and tips. She's got a book. I went to the website. It's quite interesting. There's some good advice there in dealing with email, in creating sort of a new system for yourself on how to handle email. So I think that's really helpful, and it's a good step to take. But in our final paragraph, we see that some companies are going in a different direction.
Well, the best idea may come from the London company, which advocates that companies ditch email altogether. And we heard about that earlier. Atos is supposedly going to stop using email by 2014. That's an interesting direction. What will replace email? We have to communicate. We have to, you know, have something to replace it. We can't just quit it. So what's going to come next?
Right. If we ditch email, if we just get rid of it, we stop using it completely. If we stop using email, what will we be using in favor of it or instead of it? A phone call? A meeting?
Nope. It turns out that enterprise social networking will replace email. And this comes from Gartner, the IT research firm. They predict that in 2014, companies will substitute this platform for email.
Okay. So what exactly would that look like?
Well, the only thing I have to imagine right now is using Facebook, like maybe having a work account for Facebook where you just do work. I see that as being more efficient. And if we think about how we use Facebook today and how efficient it is having, you know, a group invitation or a group to discuss things. Mm-hmm. But also I potentially see some danger in that because already there's so many things that can go wrong if you mix work with your Facebook account.
I agree. But I have noticed that there are some kinds of separate social networking systems that have started to come up. For example, my church, our whole community is on something called The City. It's a church's only type of social network. And it works very similarly to Facebook, but it's separate from that. And so it's sort of dedicated only to this purpose. And so we can plan events and discuss scheduling and all kinds of things all throughout that channel. And it's very useful. It helps keep it much more organized.
We had even done an article about Path, where you can have a very select group of people. And I could see companies using that where the only people on this network are the employees. So we're not getting a lot of outside stuff. We're not getting pictures of fruit or dogs, but we're focusing on business with our own internal network.
Okay, good. So there are a lot of possible ways this will happen in the future. We'd love to hear what you think or maybe what your company or your workplace is already trying. So please do get in touch and come back soon for another article. Until then, this is Naomi,
Joanna,
and Bill
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.